Good morning, diners and travelers. Once again, you're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And once again, we're going to be taking you vicariously to Italy.
Vicariously, ooh. Woo-hoo.
Big words.
That's a $10 word, if you like.
Yes.
And we did, during our trip, we did venture into Florence for a few days. There was some disagreement between us as to whether or not this was a very good idea. Because Florence was extraordinarily busy.
And is always. I don't care what time of the year it is.
Yeah, and it was busier than by a factor of 10 times than I ever remember. But, of course, on the menu, we're an enterprising bunch. So we managed to find a couple of places that were off the beaten track where there were not huge crowds.
Yeah, and I mean, all the traditional places are still running there that most people know. Like, we've done those before, the Uniteca Picchiori and Cibrea, both locations, and places like that. But we wanted something a little bit different, and we did find it.
And of course, Peter was up to doing his homework, as always. So we're going to start off in a trendy neighborhood that didn't used to be a trendy neighborhood when Anne lived in Florence. It used to be a kind of a down-at-heel neighborhood called Altrano, but Altrano is now very chic. And in the middle of the chic is a very chic restaurant called Osteria Personale, founded by an ex-veterinarian called Matteo Fantini.
I forgot he was a veterinarian.
And he found a wonderful chef called Nicola Baretti, and we talked to both of them.
Who was also an artist.
About what it means and what it's like. So we're going to go there first. Here they are.
I just walked in the door, and I totally love this restaurant. It's called Io Osteria Personale, which is, Io is I, of course, in Italian. Osteria is Osteria, and Personale is personal. So you can expect that it is not going to be your typical Florentine trattoria, which makes me very happy. Thank you. We're going to be talking to the proprietor, Matteo Fantini, and also our chef, Niccolò Baretti. Welcome, and I'm looking forward to the conversation and also to the food. Let's start with Matteo. I think your story is fascinating. You have only been a restaurateur for the duration of this restaurant, which is 2010 you opened.
Yes, in December of 2010, yes.
Right. And before that, you were a veterinarian?
Yes, I was, yes.
It's different in Italy, you said, because in the United States, veterinarians make a lot of money, but it's not so in Italy, right?
No, it's different in Italy, yes.
And you said, besides, you have this great passion for cooking, you cook.
Yes, I cook in my house, and I had a very passion for the cuisine, for the wine, and I followed my passion, and I decided to open a small restaurant in my Florence.
Okay, now you are from Florence.
Yes.
Niccolò, you are from
Pisa. I'm from Pontedera. It's one village in Pisa.
It's near Pisa. And you both were in school in Pisa.
Yes, I started as vet in Pisa.
Now, you could tell walking in the door that this is a different place. The decor is sleek, contemporary. You have chalkboards on the walls with drawings for a menu. The drawings are ideograms, more or less. And they were done by Niccolò, see?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I make all the time when we change the menu, I change and I print the dish, and the customers can't look the dish and not only read in the menu.
Well, now, it's interesting here that I guess, Matteo, you had a concept and you found the perfect match in a chef to execute the concept. What is this concept, Concetta, that you had?
And the explication of Io Osteria Personale, or the concept?
The style of cuisine at Io, is it tradizionale or creativo?
We love to describe our style of cuisine as renewed tradition. Okay?
Okay.
We use only seasonal and Italian ingredients, but they are cooked with a modern way of cooking. And we love experiment new kink of meats, and we love to toy with contrast of taste.
Right. And you change how frequently, Niccolò? Cambi the menu?
In one time for month.
Oh,
or
seasonal.
Seasonal.
And you have an interesting background. Explain your passion for cooking. And you started very young, right?
Yeah, I start for cooking at 15 years old. I make the school in Pisa. And I finish at 18 years old. And when I finish the school, I start for turn the restaurant, the most famous. I was in Martin Berasategui.
He's wonderful in Spain. In San Sebastian.
Yeah, in San Sebastian.
He's a proponent of the new Basque cuisine.
Yeah. See, I can learn too much in this restaurant, the organization of the kitchen, and too much new and modern method for cook. And after I was in Da Caino in Maremma, the chef is Valeria Piccini, and there I learned the passion for the product and the make the bread and the fresh thing, and was one very, very good chef, like one mom for me.
Now, Matteo, what the location of your restaurant? When I was a student in Florence, this was not a good location. But today, this is very smart and trendy. Where is the restaurant?
Io is in the Oltrarno.
Okay. Which is now very smart.
Yes, in the south of the river of Florence.
And who comes here?
Our customers are certainly a person to try and discover different cuisine. And we have many habitual customers from Florence, but in this period especially, there are many tourists that come in to you. In the majority, they are customers that love a kind of gourmet cuisine.
Yeah, well, now I'm looking at some of these. I call them ideograms, but I don't know. I'm looking at this as nudi with ricotta and pecorino, eggplant cream, crema melanzana.
Yes,
what's the one? Tomato confit. Now, tell me, Niccolò, what is that?
Nudi, it's naked Dumpling. Ravioli, and it's one typical dish of Tuscany. But the modern thing, it's more light because inside don't have flour and don't have eggs. And it's more light because it's only ricotta with inside the pecorino, and we make put in the oven. And down have one cream of aubergine, the tomato confit, and the pesto. It's one normal pesto with basilico. It's the typical flavor of Italy, and with one typical recipe of Tuscany, but it's more light. And for this, it's perfect for this restaurant.
Now, I can't see, but can you describe the ideogram above my head? What menu item is that?
One, it's a tartare of beef. Together have one sorbet of tomato with mozzarella bufala and crispy basil.
Basil.
Yes.
Let me do one that's behind Nicola's heads here, and maybe you don't have to turn around to look at it. It's pigeon with smoked guanciale, but with a salsa of fagottini, some nuts, and I see some peaches in Sangiovese red wine, and a little rucola to go along. Did I get that right?
Yeah. These are the traditional thing of this dish, it's the wine with peach. Because in Tuscany, in final of one dinner, in summer we eat peach and we put it in inside of wine and after we eat. And but in this dish it's cooked together. The pigeon, it's bloody, it's not cooked too much. It's cooked in a slow temperature. And outside have smoked guanciale. And together have one salad of rucola. It's bitter and make a contrast with the sweet of the peach. And the other thing, it's more typical of this dish, it's a sauce of fegatini, of the liver of of a pigeon and chicken. And it's this is in the typical we make a crostini with this, but here we make it together. Have one marmalade of Vinsanto for make this sauce of fegatini, and it's sweet and it's very very sweet. It's very good this
now,
all together.
Matteo, when I see you also have panini sandwiches, porchetta. You have a burrata with onions.
Yes.
And hamburger. Are you open for lunch?
No, only for the dinner.
So yeah. People come here to have, I'd call them snacks, no? I mean, they're less casual, they're more casual, rather. Dishes, more casual, like panini for dinner?
Yes. It's a, divertente, lucky.
Sí.
It's a key plate with three different.
Oh, it's all on one plate?
Yes.
Oh, that's big.
It's one plate with three different kind of sandwiches, with an hamburger, very different from the McDonald's hamburger.
I would hope so.
Yes, yes. With our product, with our kind of meat, chianina.
Oh, you use chianina in that?
Chianina.
Yeah. Oh.
The second is sandwiches with porchetta. Is a typical pork roast from Tuscany. Okay.
Yeah, I love porchetta.
Porchetta.
Yeah.
And the third is sandwiches with cicina. Cicina is a kind of omelette typical of Tuscany, made with chickpeas and water.
Oh, I see. Okay. Cicina, see. How this is a difficult question. I mean, we have some language issues here, but this is not your typical restaurant or trattoria in Florence. How was it received when you opened up, when you first opened it? You first would have the local critics, the local diners. How were you received? Were you viewed as pazza? I mean, a little crazy?
Our kitchen is not traditional kitchen. It's very different. But we use the same ingredients of the traditional cuisine. And in the start, the customers were very, very...
hesitant.
Yes, yes. But if you like the good kitchen, I think that for us, the quality of kitchen and the ingredients. And we have many, many habitual customers that love this kind of kitchen, but love the traditional kitchen also. As I love the traditional kitchen, but I am this kind of kitchen also. And I think that the important is the quality, and until this moment we are very, very happy for the success.
So it is successful, because
yes.
I think it's just a knockout place. I love it already. I haven't even eaten anything, but I can tell it's going to be good. And I know, Niccolò, you sound so much like you're passionate about the food and you really know what you're doing, and you certainly have a good background. And your wines, are they all local?
Yes, only wines from Italy. I love to wait for small producers.
Right.
Yes, and to offer very particular wine for our customers. Our wine list is very different from the wine list of many restaurants in Florence. And
because they're small producers.
Yes, only small producers and very particular kind of wine that many restaurants in Florence don't have.
Well, I mean, the menu looks just enticing. You have seafood we haven't talked about. Is your seafood as strong as meat? I mean, do you do as many interesting seafood dishes as meat dishes, Nicolò?
I must speak from one dish.
No, do you like seafood?
Yeah, I like all. I love seafood, meat food. For this, in my past, I work in Berazategui. I learn for work the fish, and in Da Caino, I learn more the meat.
Right.
Yeah. Make all.
Do you do special techniques in the kitchen? Do you do sous vide and all the things that they do in
I the more modern technique for the kitchen. I like to much make the salad ice cream,
uh-huh,
and or spuma.
Uh-huh.
But and the most important, it's the cooking slowly temperature with all meat and fish, and after I don't have a strange dish. The dish is simple, but change the texture of a typical dish and have more contrast. But it's not one strange kitchen for me, where in one dish have too much ingredients. Not too much ingredient. Have only 2, 3, 4 ingredient. No, not more.
Why don't we close up with a dessert?
Yeah.
Since we have many listeners who are keen on dolce, and I'm looking across at one that has, shall we say, some unusual things in combination.
Yeah. The dessert is one of my most passion,
oh,
more important, and I think in this I'm very good for more of all, because I like too much, and I like put the not the normal thing. One we see here, it's one cream of white chocolate and olive oil, and everyone gel of passion fruit, granita of
lavender.
Yeah. And another, it's very special for me, it's one souffle of chocolate, but inside don't have butter, have oil, and for this is more light, and don't have flour.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and together, it have one sorbet of basil, and one marmalade of tomato.
Right, now, what about the celery sorbet?
Yeah, this is another very, very good. I learned this ice cream of celery from Martin Berazategui, but I make the dish new. Together I put yogurt, I put one crumble of nuts, and the carrots, sweet carrots.
Well, listeners, this is going to be a delight, and Anne, who doesn't even eat desserts, will try some of these. And Matteo, one more word, a final word to our listeners. Cosa vuole dire?
If you are a person curious and if you love quality, you have to try Io Seria Personale.
And I had trouble with the website. Do you have a specific website?
Yes, we have. www.io-osteriapersonale.
One word.
.it.
.it. Well, there, I have it now, so that's good. Well, I can't wait. I'm excited to be here and excited to talk to you people, to meet you both and talk to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And we'll be back with another Secret Place right after the break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.com. .net.
Welcome back, and we're going to switch gears a little bit here. We were just chic and trendy and smart, and now we're going to be traditional, and we're going to give you a place, and as you listen to our interview, it's the kind of place, as a tourist, you just love to find. And this is, of course, the Trattoria Armando, what everybody's looking for.
And you have to look carefully to find it.
Exactly.
I know, because not in order that I not have to walk too far in the wrong direction, I went there to make sure I knew exactly where it was. And it turns out it's not very far away from Io Ristorante Personale. It's probably less than half a kilometer away from there. But hidden away on a rather quiet residential street, with one of those shutters that comes all the way down in front that stops people from getting in. So it's hard to even know there's a restaurant there until you get there at opening hours. But I had a long email correspondence with Alessandra Piorali, who's the current member of the family who runs the place, and her mother, Giovanni Verni, is in the kitchen cooking up a storm, and here they are to talk to us.
Well, I feel truly that I am in Florence in this charming trattoria, primarily, I think, because it is traditional, is it not?
Effettivamente vero, perché questa è proprio è nata come una trattoria familiare, come trattoria con lo spirito di famiglia, e per le persone si devono sentire come a casa.
Sì,
e con cibi come cucinati in casa, con amore, con materie prime.
Now, we should introduce who we're talking to, because that was Giovanna, and the translator was actually Alessandra Piorali. And let's see, your grandfather, Alessandro, established this restaurant in 1957, and it's called Trattoria Armando, because Armando was your grandfather's name. And your mother, Giovanna, has just said what I was feeling, that when people come here to dine, they feel that they are right at home, in their own home, and that the kitchen is like their own cooking, and that's what everyone's looking for, right?
Esattamente questo.
Now, is Armando your grandfather?
My grandfather.
And your mother's father?
Father-in-law.
Giovanna lavorata qui sempre, quanti anni?
Questa è stata aperta nel 57, 1957. Nome viene dal padre Armando.
My mother came here when she was a young girl. She was
molto
17 years old, because I was engaged with my father. And that time she started to come here to help my father, to help my grandfather, my grandmother, and then came her job.
So she married a restaurant.
She married a restaurant before my dad. Ha sposato il ristorante prima del babbo.
Quasi.
Sì.
It is a comfortable decor. The surroundings are wonderful, but there's something distinctive with all these wonderful photographs of dancers and singers and autographed celebrity photos. Why is that?
Because the Trattoria Armando is very close to the opera theater. We are just 200 meters far. And my grandfather and my father really loved the opera music, and they have a strict connection with theater. They used to go to the theater, and after the performances, the singers, the conductors used to come here to have dinner, you know, late at night. And because all the opera singers used to feel very comfortable, like at home, they used to leave us the picture with an autograph and some nice words to my father, to my grandfather, to my mom, to me, to my uncle Daniele.
Are there any particularly famous people whose pictures we might find if we look? There are many, many pictures. Perhaps Pavarotti is here. Or
Pavarotti is here. And Rudolf Nureyev is here.
Wow.
And many, many. Alfredo Kraus is here. Montserrat Caballé, Barenboim, many, many.
And can you give us the secret of what Luciano Pavarotti used to eat?
Pasta.
Pasta, everything. I think everything.
It looks, yes.
Quantity, you know.
Quantity.
Yes. Yes,
and Giovanna, who in particular do you remember the most fondly?
Io, siccome mi piace il balletto, sono appassionata al balletto, io ricordo Nureyev, che era un nostro cliente, e molto spesso quando noi eravamo chiusi il giorno di chiusura lui voleva venire a mangiare a casa mia, in casa, e allora era tutta una grande bella compagnia.
My mother said that she used to remember Rudolf Nureyev because he used to come here to have lunch, but on during the day off when the restaurant was closed he wanted to come to our house to have lunch or dinner, and really I remember him. He used to come to have lunch in our kitchen. He wanted to have lunch in the kitchen all together. We are three brothers and sister, and it's a very nice memory.
Oh, it's a wonderful memory. You still cook every day, Giovanna?
Sì, 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 sì. Ancora mi piace tanto.
Because she really loves
cook.
Yes.
What are your most favorite things to cook?
Mi piace tutto, ecco. Carne, primi piatti, carne, però mi piace tutto, mi appassiona tutto.
So she's passionate about cooking everything. Now, were you born in Florence?
Sì, in comune.
Yes.
Sì, ma sono nata
sì, in Florence, just nearby.
And you
here.
Were obviously, you probably were here, I would say, Alessandra, as a child in the restaurant. Huh?
Yes, yes, I grew up here.
Uh-huh.
As she married the trattoria, I grew up here, yes.
Now, what you would say this is traditional food, right? Tell me what we might be eating today, because our listeners love to know the details of the food. What from this menu, what will we be eating? Could you describe some of the dishes?
Sure. I think that because you are in Florence, we are in Florence, of course we have to taste the crostini alla Toscana. It's very simple, made with the liver pate. That's very, very typical, and we used to eat at home on Sunday maybe, but it's a very, very nice and simple thing. And as main and as a pasta dish, I think that we have to try the pappardelle with a wild boar sauce.
Oh, wow.
That's very typical in Florence, in Tuscany, and very tasty. And also the homemade ravioli with ricotta cheese and basil that we prepare homemade. And with now it's, let's say, spring time with cherry tomatoes, garlic, olive oil, basil, very simple and very nice.
Yeah, I love walking in to see the centerpieces on each table were pots of basil, fresh basil, and the cherry tomatoes.
Oh,
and then there's Italian parsley, flat-leaf parsley.
Yes, and as main course, maybe it sounds strange to you, but I think that we have to try the tripe. Very typical, nice, and a nice flavor. And also, this time, we have chicken stuffed with eggplant.
Oh, wow. I never had that.
Very nice.
It's a mama
dish. As the veal meatball in a lemon sauce. It's a mama dish.
A mama dish.
Mama dish.
I'm sure you have wonderful mixed salads.
Yes, you know, because we go to the market every morning.
Do you go to the central market?
Not the central market. I go, there is a, you know, in Florence we have many markets.
Yes.
Close to the Cascine Park. I go there.
Because we went to the central market this trip, and it looked smaller and not as up to the same standards as the last time we saw it.
But I think now it's smaller because they are doing some work in progress.
Okay.
They have a work in progress.
Okay, so it hasn't just shrunken.
Sì.
And I see that your desserts, your dolci, are made in casa too. And that's
mama cakes. We have
mama cakes.
We have apple and grape pie.
apple and grape
pie. Now we have cherries and grape pie. We change. We have nice bitter chocolate cake. It depends from the day, anyway.
All homemade. House. Well, this is going to be a wonderful meal. I feel like I am at home, as I said before. And I think it's wonderful that after all these years, Giovanni, you still have this passion for cooking.
Mi piace proprio.
Now, we forgot to ask Alessandra, do you cook?
I really like to cook at home. I used to serve to be with our guest. I go to the market every morning.
Because you do the shopping.
I used to do the shopper. And she cooks. She is in the kitchen. But I really like to cook and to eat. So.
And your father?
And my father doesn't cook.
No.
He eats, but he's not working anymore. He used to come here, just say different words.
Do you have a lot of locals eating here?
Yes, we have, but, you know, we have. During the lunchtime, we have many local people, you know, and on the weekend evening. Otherwise, the other evenings, we have many people from...
Tourists.
Tourists, because Florence is a touristic
city.
So, mixed.
And we always conclude with where to find more information. So the website is trattoria-armando.com, not .it.
Si.
And the location, you heard during the interview that it's close to the Opera House. For Peter, the landmark that I knew best is the Piazza Ognissenti, where the beautiful church on one side, Arno River on the opposite side, and two hotels, the St. Regis and a Westin Excelsior, facing one another.
Yeah.
So these are other landmarks. We actually walked here from the opposite direction, from the hotel we were staying at, from Porta al Prato, which is not only a short walk away. So this is extremely convenient, and I'm sure you should make a point to come here. Don't be put off during the time when the restaurant is not open. The shutter comes down,
and you have
no idea of the beautiful interior that lies behind. You have to look carefully at the half moon above the shutter to see that it is indeed Trattoria Armando. And it's a great place to come, I'm sure, and we're just going to have a wonderful time. So thank you so much, Giovanna.
Thank you.
Alessandra.
Thank you so much.
For making all the arrangements. And now to Pranzo.
Pranzo.
And we'll be going back to two places in Umbria right after the break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. I'm very fond of this next restaurant, Zeppelin, which is named after...
Led Zeppelin.
Yes. And boy, it's a groovy place. That's really cool.
It is a groovy place. And
did we mention the food in the interview? I can't remember. You listened
what
to it.
What do you mean did we mention the food?
I mean, did we talk about my favorite ravioli?
I can't remember if we did. So why don't you try?
I'm going to say who... Talk about being in seventh heaven. Here's homemade fresh ravioli filled with fresh asparagus, served with porcini mushrooms and black truffles in a black truffle sauce. And it was to die for.
Yeah, Mrs. Haig, who doesn't like pasta, ate the whole plateful.
Yeah, and some of yours, which you had it filled with, what was it? With a wild boar.
Yeah, I had a wild boar stuffed something.
It was ravioli.
And then we had some lamb.
It was great.
Some giant lamb.
We ate outside. We had such a good time.
We did.
Anyhow, and then after that interview, we're going to change the pace a little bit at a place called Lotta Verna.
Well, hold on a second. Let's quickly mention that Zeppelin, he is in the center of the town of Orvieto.
Right.
Where we stayed, where you should certainly stay, because the cathedral alone is worth the journey to make the sights, as well as having dinner at Zeppelin, of course. But the center of Perugia, and the center of Perugia that, in fact, has put the city on a map it didn't want to be on, as a result of a rather messy murder investigation that you might recall, related to some university students there. There are many university students in Perugia, but Perugia is, in fact, an interesting medieval town and is the capital of the region. And right in the center of town, a restaurant where the owner, it seems, has done almost everything, including once upon a time owning a restaurant in Midland, Texas, where George W. Bush and Laura Bush were customers. So you can be sure that he's going to be an interesting interview coming up later in the program.
Okay, first Zeppelin and then Dopo,
La Taverna in Perugia, and Zeppelin in Orvieto. So here they go back to back.
We are anticipating a fine meal at another Umbrian restaurant called the Zeppelin, which is not an accident, but we'll find out more about that when we talk to the chef, Lorenzo Pellegri.
Yeah.
Tell us about this restaurant. How old is it?
The restaurant is 17 years old. I moved here with another guy who used to be my partner in business. But this place used to be a famous cafe, bar, and gelateria that was opened in 1946.
Wow.
Yes, and now there's a pretty important institution. It was called Bar Giardino because we have a large garden with big hydrangeas, and we also have a bunch of lemon trees. In spite of the bad weather of this past winter, they are still alive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you do a garden there for the restaurant?
Yeah, we have all the herbs outside.
Uh-huh, great.
All the rosemary, sage, you know, everything.
So it's 17 years old.
17 years old.
That's a long time for a restaurant.
And yeah, I assume. I don't know. You think so?
I don't know. But
I know in the States, if you survive a few years, you do well.
Right.
In Italy, it's hard anyway. It's really hard.
Well, now, what kind of food do you do? I'm putting off asking you what else you've done because, as I said, you are, I think, a Renaissance man of the modern era. But tell us about the food first.
Okay, the food we serve is traditional, is local. And what is important for me is making everything from scratch. So we make all the breads. It's not bread, but breads. We make different kinds of focaccia, pizza, ciabatta, using local flour, 00 from soft wheat, and farro, also farro flour, or chickpea flour. So different kinds of bread. That's really important. First of all, you make good bread. And then all the fresh pasta can be normal tagliatelle, tagliolini. It's stuffed, panzerotti or ravioli, cappellacci, whatever. Our philosophy, although people use the word philosophy too often, should be something simpler than that. It's using local stuff, trying to use traditional recipes, with a little twist, a little updating. Also putting different things together to give a nice, curious touch to the food. But we use only local stuff, yeah.
What kind of secondi?
Secondi we have chicken, because we have a lot of American customers, and we know that Americans really love chicken.
They love chicken, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Chicken, but the number one is wild boar, cinghiale.
Right.
Wild boar, exactly. It's really nice, a little gamey, beautiful, it's kind of sweet, fantastic. Pork, a lot of pork, and we have to confess we sell a lot of lamb. We have
lamb.
Yeah, the lamb are the chops mostly. It's a little bigger than normally, so it's almost a sheep. It's beautiful. It's called Agnello Pesante, the heavy lamb.
Oh, Pesante.
Yeah, Pesante. Yeah, they are about 20 kilograms when they're slaughtered. They're from Perugia. And we also have beef. Close to Chianina. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, there's some issues about Chianina. You know, sometimes you can find Chianina, sometimes it's not Chianina.
They fake them?
Yeah, that's a long story. In legal-wise, you can buy Chianina, although it's not 100% Chianina.
Yeah, I mean, I had one that I was absolutely, absolutely sure was authentic. And
it was in Cortona. We honestly, Lorenzo, we got this piece of bistecca fiorentina. We were sure we would only eat half of it.
Because it was huge.
Tastes so good, we've demolished the whole thing.
I'm not a big fan of the Fiorentina because basically you eat raw meat. I like a medium-sized tagliata, yes. Uh-huh. Now, most of the people really are crazy for strip loin, tenderloin, but they don't think that the spezzatino is also beautiful and it's a good way to use also shoulder cut. It's really tasty, but yeah, the Chianina is really good. Mm-hmm. Chianina is the old breed of the Etruscans. And it used to be our, in the countryside in the old days, the transportation and also the tractor.
Right. I've seen photos, old photos.
Right. I got photos here all over. And if you take a walk around the restaurant, you can see my grandfather during the harvest. He was a farmer. And
yeah, well, that's the next set of questions is how did you get here?
From another planet.
Oh, could be. But yeah, from Led Zeppelin. I read sort of your resume, and I mean, you've done just about everything, but you say it all goes back to the fact that you were raised on a farm.
Right.
Tell me that, how you explained it, because you knew your ingredients first and you've been
working
since
age five. Basically, I was really, actually, I just finished writing my first cookbook, and it's called The Etruscan Chef. And it's really, we started, with Kim. Kim is my girlfriend from Boston. She's a chef too.
Kim
Brookmeyer. She's blonde, Swedish. She doesn't look Italian. Uh-huh. So we brought this book. We started with a bunch of recipes, many recipes. Then we realized that people are somehow tired of recipes and I needed to write most of all a memoir. So
yeah,
this is
the newest trend. Exactly. Every book we're getting now.
Because you go online,
recipes.
You click a button on your internet, whatever, you have a million recipes of that sauce or whatever. But you never have the truth, or the real deal is about a sauce or how people in Umbria cultivate the garden or how they make bread or how bread was made or these kind of things. So I was really fortunate to grow up with people in the countryside, and this kind of society is gone forever because now we only have professional farmers, so people with big tractors. It's pure economy. It's pure business. Because
we're trying to get back to the other thing. I
mean, we can't. You know, the only way to do it.
Slow food people die, and they have.
That's true too. But I'm talking about people who used to live on the first floor with a cow on the ground floor as a sort of heating system, natural. And people waking up 4 o'clock in the morning, having a first breakfast, and then another breakfast at 9:30 because they've been already around for 5 hours, going to sleep at 6, maybe 7 o'clock p.m. and self-efficient. It's like now, but we talk about 50 years ago.
Well, we're not going to get back there. This is
no. What we'd like to go back to, I think, it's using the right stuff.
You know, when is this cookbook memoir?
I would say today is June what? Something?
Yeah, June
whatever.
Something.
June something. At the end of June in Italy. And then I'm going to do a...
It takes a long time getting it for American audience, huh?
No, it's in English. It's all in English.
Oh, you wrote it in English?
Yes, of course.
Well, this introduces us just to all these other things. I mean, you've cooked at the James Beard House seven times.
7 times. Next time will be November 3rd.
Coming up. Oh, uh-huh. Another one.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of immersed. You do work, consult with a lot of, and do exchange programs with a lot of the cooking schools, the culinary schools. And this leads us to, you have a very, very extensive culinary course program at your restaurant, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Is it in the restaurant where you give these classes?
We have many, many really offers or possibilities, whatever. We host students from all over the states, from CIA, Johnson & Wales, the Art Institute, French Culinary Institute, Newbury College, Cambridge School of Culinary Arts, some community colleges, and they come here, they spend 2, 3, or 4 months, depending on the school, and they do the internship. We also offer professional courses. They can be 2 weeks up to 3 months, but the most popular is 2 weeks. We also do a week, and we also do a bunch of recreational for 1 day, or team building, and all this kind of, you know, recreational, having fun.
I don't know how you keep track of all this.
I'm exhausted.
And you have a small child.
My small child is, he used to be small. Now he's 14. He's giant.
Oh, because you said you had to pick him up at school. I thought maybe.
He's somewhere. His passion, his name is Tommy, Tommaso. He loves to fish.
So he's fishing.
Yeah, he wants to buy, you know, like a pond to do sport fishing.
Oh, nice.
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Well, now listen, since you talk about, he sounds like he's going to be like you. You've been into almost everything. You studied languages.
Yeah.
What did you study?
I studied English and Spanish, but my Spanish is, if I go to Spain or have to spend some time with Spanish people or Southern American, it's coming back.
Well,
I need a couple of days.
That happens with languages.
But mostly I speak English now in the restaurant because the students, because our clientele is probably 90% from United States and the rest is from Australia, New Zealand, UK. Northern Europe, Scandinavians, yeah.
You also did some other funny kinds of things. You said you sold real estate, but the one that caught my eye was you were a championship bodybuilder.
Yeah. I was thinner than now, you know, different shape. I competed for to 80s. Oh my God, where are we now? 87 up to 90. Then I have a couple of injuries and I had to slow down. Then I was completely conquered by the business.
But
I would love to do it.
You also became an expert on exercise nutrition.
Yeah, because at the same time I started working for a trade union, agricultural trade union, and we did a bunch of research about nutrition, developing also program for people doing fitness and different kind of sports. It was a really good combination of studying for the gym and studying for the farmers, like the use and abuse of steroids, this kind of things not to do. During the early 90s, it was really easy to go, at least in Italy, to go to the pharmacy and get some, you know, GH or some kind of strange, some of the tropic hormones.
And those are the people who are all dropping dead now.
Right. I know they're bad. And then you have a bunch of people getting problems and the same problems with the cattle, with the animals. And in Italy, it's forbidden all over the European community. And I think in the States too now. It's, playing with hormones is really bad. Anyway.
Yes. Let's clarify exactly where we are. That's Peter's zone. He gets good use out of his master's.
Peter is drinking beer in Umbria. Shame on you.
Yeah, it's really curious. I'm drinking.
But it's Italian.
I'm drinking an Italian version of Bock. Which is a German fall beer. Your colleague, general manager, called it red beer.
Right. You have to consider that we are in a place with a sort of German influence, since it's called Zeppelin. So we are from Bodensee, from south of Germany.
So that's the reason why. We're actually in a place I didn't even know you could drive into until I started investigating, because when you drive on the A1 south and you pass a high cliff on the right-hand side with a city on top of it, you think, how do people get up there? Do they fly?
Right. No, that's originally used to be an alien base. So the only thing.
Okay. Now, we happen to know, because we have been here before, that there is a massive parking lot and a massive elevator to bring you up to the city.
Oh, that's interesting. You just talk about the parking lot. The parking lot was called Campo Boario.
Okay.
And it was, Campo means field, Boario, where for the oxen. So that's where people used, it was the livestock exchange field, something like that. So people used to bring their animals to sell them.
But if you're really into adventure and you want to get to the doorstep, there is a road on the backside of the hill, the western side, which is the way we came in, and we finally reached a road that was at least 2 inches either side wider than the Fiat Panda that we're driving.
That's how you play the game, yeah.
And there was our...
It's fun.
Thank goodness there was our hotel, and fortunately one of the owners, Luigi, was willing to take my car around the corner and park it away until it's time for us to leave.
Oh, you guys are close to the market square. You know, tomorrow is Saturday, there is a market square. Piazza del Popolo. In Orvieto.
Piazza del Popolo.
Yeah, can meet
that's
a bunch of farmers and,
We love farmers.
That's
love
great.
Market,
and,
so I'm so pleased that that's going to be true.
I anticipate a little bit. In the book, I wrote a big chapter about the market and I talk about some people working there, like the cheese guy, the Sicilian guy who comes from Sicily selling artichokes, and the farmers from the Lake of Bolsena. And it's really cool, a bunch of farmers.
We are less than 90 minutes north of Rome.
Yeah.
On the outer strada. So it's very easy to reach. A charming city on a rock with beautiful medieval architecture, with beautiful narrow medieval streets.
And a fabulous Duomo.
And of course a fabulous restaurant.
Gothic, Romanesque style.
And a fabulous restaurant called Zeppelin, which happens to be in the middle of the whole thing too. So it was a thrilling experience to get to our hotel. I hope it's just as easy to get out.
It will be prisoner forever.
Oh dear. If we're stuck here forever, at least we'll have a place to come.
You know where to go.
And we can learn to cook. And we're going to have a wonderful time this evening, I feel sure.
Well,
is
there anything you'd like to add, a final word to our listeners?
Absolutely. Come to visit Orvieto in general. I don't care if you come here or not, but you have to come to Orvieto. Oh, I'm the ambassador of Orvietan cuisine to the world. That's the mayor. Mayor gave me this title, so I have to promote the town. It's my duty. Anyway, now we do a lot of cooking courses. So if you want to enjoy one day or a week or 2 weeks in Orvieto in the countryside, you're more than welcome to check our website, www.ristorantezeppelin.it, or just Google my name, Lorenzo Pollegri, on Google, and it's easy to find. And you're going to put up some weight on, some pounds.
You'll get a great welcome, as we did.
I hope so. Thank you. See you where? In the States with a new cookbook. Ciao.
Well, if you hear some jazz in the background, that's right in the character of the restaurant we're in called La Taverna in Perugia, Umbria. And we're talking to Claudio Brugolosi, who is very tied in with the jazz festival, the famous jazz festival that happens in Umbria twice a year, once in Perugia in the summer. And that one, I think, Claudio, runs 10 days?
10 days in Perugia and 4 days in Orvieto at New Year's Eve.
Okay, and this is actually Jazz Central when the festival's going on.
Well, this is the headquarter of all the top jazz players in the world. They come either after the concert or before the concert to have dinner.
And you chat them up?
And we chat and they play, and it's a
and
beautiful
atmosphere. They play here too.
Oh, yeah,
oh
they
great.
Do, they do, yeah.
That's great.
I never ask, but they do it by themselves.
Yeah, and you're surrounded by art when you're here because you have rotating exhibits. Are they all local artists?
Yes, I offer the space to young artists from all over the world, Italians. The lady that is doing the expo now is a lady from Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And I offer the space and they do the exhibition, so they get to be known.
Well, now, you're pretty well known yourself. Now, let's not be modest. Tell us about your background. You are a chef.
I am a chef. I started as a young cook in 1968 in a restaurant Sans Souci in Rome, which was the first restaurant in Italy to have the Michelin star. And I did all the management training in the kitchen and dining room. After that, I opened a restaurant in Midland, Texas, and for 3 years I stayed in Midland. After that, I went to work with the Hyatt Hotel and Resorts in Tampa.
We have to interrupt here. There's a cherche la femme, or whatever the Italian equivalent is, involved in that move to Midland, Texas. But you had a pretty famous customer, too.
Yes, George W. Bush and Mrs. Laura were among my customers in Midland.
So, but then you went with the Hyatt.
I went with Hyatt because after the oil boom in Midland, Texas, the boom became a bust.
Uh-huh.
There was enough time spent in Midland. So my wife sent my resume to all the major hotel company, and Hyatt asked me to go to work in Tampa in a restaurant called Armani on the top floor of the Hyatt Regency West Shore.
Wow.
And I introduced a new way of cooking Italian food in America, the modern Italian cuisine. The corporate executive chef, Janos Kis, liked my work, and we spread the concept in other hotels, Hyatt hotels in the United States.
So modern Italian.
Modern, to give you an idea, no more spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh,
no,
but
more.
That's American anyhow,
okay.
Isn't it?
Well, it was present in every Hyatt menu. Spaghetti and meatballs, chicken cacciatora, chicken bolognese,
yeah,
veal scaloppini, marsala, and all the things that you don't want to cook anymore.
Right. Okay, so you've moved on now, and but you showcase traditional Umbrian restaurants.
In my menu is kind of divided into two parts. There is a traditional Umbrian revisited, shorter cooking times. Not like my mother used to do. My mother had cooked all day to do one dish. Now we do shorter times, a little bit more creative, but still nice presentation, but the flavor need to be original of Perugia.
Okay, tell us about what is the flavor of Perugia. The
flavor of Perugia is mainly pork, lamb, truffle, white and black. It depends on the season. Now we're using the Nero Pregiato, because it's end of May, it's finishing the Nero Pregiato. Now we are going into the summer truffle. After the summer truffle will be the white truffle, God willing.
Which is what I love.
I do too. But it depends on the rain in August and September. If we have no rain, like last year, no truffle. And all the wild mushrooms. Now, in my restaurant in particular, I'm lucky enough to have the same pasta lady for the last 20 years. She does all day long is fresh pasta.
Fresh pasta.
That's what I'm famous for. All my fresh pasta made. I have a different pasta on the menu every day. And all the basics of Italian cuisine. I have 12 pastas on the menu, plus it says on the bottom of my menu, it says, upon request, the pastas of the Italian tradition. Meaning, I don't have a carbonara on the menu, but if somebody wants a carbonara, we can make a carbonara.
You can make it.
That's to give you an idea. Plus, traveling around the world, I've learned a few things. I worked in Japan. So,
you know, when you travel, you do cooking demos.
I do cooking consulting and schools. And I was in Japan 10 times in 2 years for 14 days. And I was teaching young Japanese chef.
How to cook Italian.
How to cook Italian. And I picked a few tricks there. So on my menu now, there is a tempura, there is a yakitori.
Oh, really?
There are a few Japanese dishes that locals love. To come out in a nice restaurant and have something different than the sausage and lamb chops.
Does come to this restaurant.
Depends upon the season. Now my customers are going to go on vacation. Economic crisis or not, they starting to go to the summer homes. And the tourists start to come in. Winter from September until end of April, May, it's a mixture. Conventions. La Taverna is located in the heart of Perugia.
It certainly is.
And
very
right
heart.
Downtown. So hotels... They know our work for many years. So we do a lot of nice people from hotels and lots of business dinners.
Yeah, I was going to say there seems to be a business clientele around.
Yeah. So it's mixed. I'm very happy with how the restaurant is doing.
How does someone find you? Of course, physically, they know you're right in the middle of town, but how do people, do you have a website?
I have a website and, I'm lucky enough to be number 2 on TripAdvisor with more than 600 reviews, and most of them are very nice, so I'm very happy about it. And the locals know La Taverna because this restaurant was created in 1951. The day I was born, La Taverna opened the first time, and this is where you're sitting now. It's a 14th century building. There used to be the cellars and the garage, if you want to use that word, because there was a horses and carriage from the Count Faina family. They used to keep horses and carriage down here. And the cellars and the stock rooms, they were all on where La Taverna is existing now. And it's been here forever. I bought this restaurant in 1988, so it's 24 years ago, May 1st. And we have been known in town. The locals know us. And if you ask anybody downtown where is La Taverna, they will indicate you in a moment.
Well, there's a lot of money in this area, traditionally. So great buildings to see, lots to do in Perugia. How many do you seat at this restaurant?
We have 140 seats, but I do not accept more than 100 people at a time.
Okay.
I do not sit down. I try to schedule my reservation in a way that there are no more than 100 people sitting at one time.
And I know you also cater because you have a big event tonight, huh?
I have a big event tonight and tomorrow night. And yesterday I specialized in private jets catering. So,
how cute.
Private jets is a big part of my business. I've been doing this for 10 years.
Now, I ask you this because I read an article about why food that high up never tasted as good as food down below.
Well,
and I'm telling you, we spend a lot of time on airplanes. You know, in first or envoy class.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the food just gets worse and worse and worse.
I know. But, well, the way I do it for the maximum 12 people. So I do exactly, you eat exactly the same food that you eat at La Taverna, and I do not allow the stewardess to use the microwave.
Oh, well, that would be a good step
private
forward.
Jets, there are...
Yes, we did. Okay.
Ah, okay.
Can you tell...
what you're going to have today? Today, you want to eat traditional Perugia?
I don't know. What do you recommend?
I will start you with a terrine of guinea hen with truffle and pistachios.
That sounds
with
good.
A little salad. And then if you like blue cheese, that signature item of my restaurant is called caramelle rosse al gorgonzola.
Oh.
This is a candy-shaped raviolo.
Okay.
Filled with beetroot, the red beets.
Oh, I love beets.
Ricotta and mozzarella with gorgonzola and poppy seed sauce.
Wow.
And then I'll have you try...
Is that creativo or
That's creativo. That you can only find this in La Taverna. I came up with the idea 24 years ago because I wanted to give... Perugia is a candy town. Perugina Candy Factory is
here. Oh, that's right. I've
so I made a candy, a red candy, look like the Rossana candy from Perugina. And for main course, I would like to try, if you like, veal medallions with black truffle. So you get a taste of the truffle in this
Sounds
season.
Wonderful. Very good.
That's what I would like for you to try today.
Sounds terrific, Claudio. Well, I guess that you need to be rushing off now.
I'm on my way to set up another big catering party, but it's very, very, very important. It's the 80th birthday of the founder of Perugina Candy Factory.
Oh, really?
So we have. He wants to see me. He wants to make sure that everybody's going to be happy tomorrow. So we're going to set up today, and tomorrow evening is going to be.
It's such a pleasure meeting you, and I really look forward to your food.
Well, I hope you enjoy it, and
yeah.
Thank you for coming to La Taverna.
Grazie mille.
Prego, signora.
And there you have it. Until yeah. Same time, same place. What will we be up to?
I don't know,
next week, I'm not even sure what we're up to next week.
I want to say that
you want to say something.
I miss the people we meet as much as I miss the great times and food that we have.
Of course,
when we're there
of course you
traveling because you get to hang with them for a while and you find them fun, interesting, and then you know you move on.
and this visit seemed to have more than its usual.
Yeah, we loved
cast
it.
Of characters,
yeah.
And we enjoyed all of you. We hope that you're listening. Just as we hope all our regular listeners are adding this to their enjoyment, and we will look forward to talking with you again, same time, same place.
Next week. Bye-bye.